morning, Living Hope.
Good morning,
Pastor. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited this morning to share with you what I believe is going to be another transforming morning. A morning that's going to take you from point A to point B that'll make you believe that point C is doable. How's that? And my message this morning is refining our identity. Refining. Not, in other words, defining, because I think you already know our identity in Christ, but it is a refining. Refining. So the way that this came about was I was with my grandson, and we were watching, what's it called, King David? Is that what we're watching? I don't watch TV, so this is like really out of my comfort zone. We got popcorn going, and they would never make it in a movie theater because they just talk too much. But I started to look at the story, and I started to look at the characters in the story. What roles did they play? Each of them had a role, and with each, there was an expected behavior based on the character that they were portraying. So when I saw the warriors, I felt that their character demanded that they act and work in a certain way to make me believe they were warriors. And when I saw the servant people, I saw a different kind of demeanor, you know, like maybe their eyes and they didn't look up and they were kind of this servant. You know, so everybody had a role to play, and it was based on the character that they were given. And I always thought that what really was interesting to me was when there was a twist, when a character like maybe lets you down in their expectation. Like you knew that this character could have saved the day, could have done something, and you're like, oh, they're going to win because of this guy. And that guy doesn't do anything. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what? What? And then I'm always inspired when I have certain expectations of a character that's probably not going to do too much, who rises up to the occasion, who rescues somebody or someone, you know, rescues or saves the day. And it's like, whoa, I didn't expect that. And it started for me to start thinking about what's our identity? And what role are we playing? And are we meeting the expectation of who we're called to be? So this morning, I would like to start out, if you would stand for the reading of God's word. I would like to read for you, Revelations 5, 9 through 10, and it's up here. And they sang a new song saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to God. And they shall reign on the earth." And they shall reign on the earth. This year, God is refining our identity as kings. Revelations 5, 9 through 10 declares that we have been made kings and priests to our God, called out for every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. We are not just saved to sit, we are redeemed to reign. This is the year to rise and walk in dominion over every sphere God has assigned to us, starting with ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would soften our heart, open our ears, and give us a deeper understanding and revelation to your word. We ask this in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen, amen, and amen. And you may be seated. We are not just saved to sit, but we have been redeemed to reign. Like, I could just say that four more times and it still has to sink in. You have not been saved to sit. You have been redeemed to reign. However, I've observed overwhelming challenges, serious sicknesses, diseases, and people are being pushed to shift when they'd rather stay comfortable. You know, a lot of people would just rather be comfortable and coast it out, honestly, right? But others are being called by God to step into something bigger than them. And fear and doubt and resistance are trying to win. Have you ever noticed that when you make a decision to follow Christ or to do something for the kingdom, there seems to be great resistance? Because see, if you actually realize that by you stepping out, you're moving the kingdom forward, you become a threat to the enemy. When you're sitting back, coasting, just being comfortable, I'm just going to tell you, there's very little that comes after you or attacks you because you're not a threat. And I just want you to realize that there are these threats that are happening all over the place, even including our family. I mean, you don't think that it breaks my heart to hear the news that Marie is blind in one eye? And I'm like, no, enough is enough. And we're going to fight in prayer. We're going to plead the blood. We're not going down. But I don't want you to think it's just you and Pastor and his wife and their family, everything is perfect. It's not. But we just choose to believe the word over the circumstance. So God gives us great momentum. Momentum is a good thing to have. So like when you're going through the stuff of life, you know what I'm thinking, right? You're going to have the momentum to just go over it. But if you dilly-dally, you're going to be in it up to here. And it stinks. God is bringing us through a season of maturity, a season of spiritual maturity. This is very different. And I need you to understand that, you know, for those of you who attend here or those of you who consistently watch online, this is different than what you get in other places. You need to understand that God wants to use you for the kingdom. And in the process of doing that, he has to get you mature. He has to get you spiritually mature. We all want to be wielding the sword and we all want to be the, you know, in the battle. But if you haven't gone through the training to prepare for the battle, you're the first casualty. And we don't want casualties. We want victors. So God is bringing us through this season. This is a season of maturity. Things that are going to get, you're going to see that, why do I get irritated about that? And God's saying, that's what I need you to focus on. Because if your heart's right, those things don't matter. We've seen some things that from folks that we went to school with, things that they put out on the internet, things that they make fun of, and I get upset. And Jeannie's like, well, I said, are you going to send something? She goes, we don't throw our pearls to swine. Because you know what? They don't have an ear to hear. So until that takes place, we just pray. We just pray. So God is bringing us through the season of maturity, of spiritual maturity, to know who we are. To know our purpose, to know our authority, a season of refining our identity. So if you've ever been in a situation where you're wondering, you know, who am I and what's my purpose and what am I supposed to be doing, hopefully this is going to refine that for you. To know what is about to take place and to say enough is enough. Have you said that yet? With all the stuff that's going on with government, all the things that are going on around the world, all the things that are happening in ministry, all the things that are happening to families, to children, it's like enough is enough. We shout that out at our house all the time, but it's not at each other. It's for this purpose of, Lord, when are you going to move? To speak in the courts of heaven and ask, when, Lord? When? When will justice be served? We hear about it. We hear that all the things are lying. When? Mark 11:12 says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That doesn't sound like wishy-washy people to me. But how many of you will hear people say, well, you know, the church is just love. Well, if you love, you'd be willing to fight for that. You love the country, so you're willing to fight for that freedom. You love your family, so you're willing to fight to protect them. This is not an invitation to engage in physical conflict, but to cultivate spiritual tenacity. Is there a slide? There we go. An enduring mindset that rejects the notion of defeat. This is the stance of a king. There is the stance of someone who knows their authority. So we're not talking about becoming physical, going out on the street and beating people up or destroying property or all that. But it's in a mindset that rejects the notion of defeat. We serve a great king. There is no defeat. We fight from victory, not for victory. This is the stance of a king. This is the stance of someone who knows their authority. This is the stance of a king. So would you agree to that? See, the problem is now that we don't believe that we're kings and priests. But God's called us to be kings and priests. God has called you to be a king. So guess what? There's no defeat. We don't quit. We are engaged in a level of spiritual warfare that we have not experienced before. There is no precedent for us to follow. This hasn't happened before. This global stuff has never been before. So we're all on new territory. We don't have anything to copy or follow. And the attack is from all directions. Yes, you may have your finances in order, yet you're being attacked with health issues. You may have your time and your schedule all aligned, yet you struggle with family or spouse relationships. You may have a great job that pays you well, yet everything you own is falling apart and you can't even save a dime. No matter which way you turn, you're hitting the wall. Do you ever feel that way? Because there's a battle going on. Hitting a wall. What does that mean? My first thought was running a marathon. Now, I know that I don't look it now, but I actually ran the Boston Marathon 3 times without stopping. And yes, it was an amazing thing. Runners who have run the Boston Marathon at some point hit what's called the wall. It's a real thing. It is a breaking point for those athletes who will either push through it or quit. What does it mean to hit the wall during a marathon? Well, if you're a marathon runner, it's called bonking. Bonking, B-O-N-K-I-N-G. But whatever you call it, it's a terrible experience. Everything seems to be going, I'll just kind of paint a picture for you. Everything seems to be going okay. You've done the miles in training. You've practiced and worked out a pace strategy that has you crossing the finish line in your own personal best. And then bang, it all seems to crumble around you. Your legs simultaneously feel like they're made of jelly, yet they weigh 8 tons each leg. And every step is absolute triumph of will, and you start to seriously doubt that the race even has a finish line. It usually happens to runners around the 18 to 22nd mile mark, and most of the time is the result of insufficient fueling or unwise pacing. So the reason for hitting the wall is, one, not enough training. Two, poor pacing during the race. Three, failure to fuel and hydrate properly. Those are the three keys that trigger it. There are others. There's hundreds of research articles on the wall and how to avoid it and how it happens. But those are the three major characteristics. So I want to show you how that spiritually lines up with us this morning. Not enough training. Training is guidance. Training is a coach. Do you know where we get our training? When we're in prayer with the Holy Spirit. Because see, when we're in prayer with the Holy Spirit, He allows us to understand wisdom and discernment. And that makes our path straight. It's like a coach that will guide you through. But if we only do it ourselves, right? How many of you know we can give ourselves a bad diagnosis or bad advice? We see it all the time. So maybe the believer is that we're not spending enough time in prayer with the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can guide our steps. If we don't have time with the Holy Spirit, we'll hit the wall. You just will, because we don't have enough strength in ourselves to overcome the spiritual attacks on the enemy. Nor do we have the wisdom to give ourselves training in spiritual maturity. It comes from a coach, Holy Spirit, time in prayer. The second one, poor pace during the race. Like that one hit me because that's pretty interesting. It's God's timing and direction. I see a lot of times believers, new believers, like, whoa, I just gave my life to the Lord. And they're just running all over the place. And it's exciting. I love when I see that. But if they're not founded, if they're not spending time with the Holy Spirit, what ends up happening is that they run and they run and they run and they do good things at the wrong time or the wrong place and therefore don't receive the blessing. You see, with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we agree that God has a certain timing, when we align with His timing, we see the results we want to see. How many of you know that your sick friend, you wanted them healed last year? I wanted Marie's eye to be healed by this Sunday. Right? I mean, we want, but we have to understand God has a timing. And the timing for us is a time of preparation for spiritual maturity. Will we press in prayer? Will we press into the things of God? Will we work in God's timing? I believe that part of the thing that we're going to go through with Marie here is to prove to both sides of the family and mom and dad that God reigns, that God answers prayer. Because you can say, well, you know, I know God's good, God answers prayer. But unless you're going through something where you have to trust God in His timing, and you need to keep pressing in, push, push, push. Somebody told me that was pray until something happens. Push. We're never tested. And just because you can walk down your stairs to the mailbox and get your meal doesn't mean that you can run down to the grocery store or run a marathon. But sometimes when you're new in the Lord, you want to run the marathon. God says, okay, I'm with you. But it's God's timing. The third thing is failure to fuel and hydrate properly. Fuel is sustenance. God's word is the manna for your spirit. It says that God's word is the bread of life. So if you're not eating of God's word, you're not getting his sustenance for spiritual maturity. See, we're trying to refine your identity. So if we understand some of these key basics, some of us are not meditating and chewing on the word of God. We're going to a fast food place and wondering, why do we feel sick? Why are we out of shape? Why do I have no energy? Because unless we're feeding on this, this is manna for your soul. You could be malnutritioned. You could be, what's that word I'm thinking of? When people don't eat and they get really skinny. Anorexic. Maybe you are spiritually anorexic. And then maybe you take a little bite of it, but it's challenging you, so you just spit it back out and leave, you know. I'm not letting that get in my spirit. Oh, God forbid I should get healed. Healed, right? I mean, so maybe we hit the wall in our spiritual walk of maturity because maybe we were anorexic spiritually in the Word of God, and we don't have enough sustenance in us to be able to make it through the marathon that's set before us. Amen? Again, we are engaged in a level of spiritual warfare that we have not experienced before. There's no precedent for us to follow. A battle on all fronts and impossible situations mounting. And yet, I look around to see too many believers lying down in defeat. You know that little saying we say to the kids all the time, quitters never win and winners never quit. We were not made to play dead. We were not redeemed to be ruled over by our circumstances. We are kings, and kings do not bow in battle. They rise and rule in the midst of it. This is the year when God is commanding us to rise with a fresh revelation of the authority we've been given in Christ, the second Adam. Jesus overcame everything that could ever come against us. Do you believe that this morning? He stripped the enemy of the authority that the first Adam surrendered. And now we who are in Christ are no longer under the curse of the first Adam. We walk in the victory of the second Adam. We walk as victors, not victims. Now, I want you to know that even where I'm at, I still need to remind myself of that. I have a gift from somebody that was in our church, two plaques that they're carved out of wood. One says teach and the other one says preach. And then I have a stuffed animal on my desk, the shelf on my desk, to remind me. Do you want to know what that is? Do you want to know what the stuffed animal is? Eeyore. Not to be an Eeyore. Oh, it'll never work. I always lose my tail. Is that what's coming out? Do we say that? My life is always like this. It's never going to change. See, the things that we profess become etched in stone in the courts of heaven. When we say things even that we don't want them, we actually give Satan the right to act upon it because we spoke them. Just a thought. As believers, it is important for us to know and understand who we are in Christ Jesus and the authority that we have in Christ our Lord. This will help us to live the life that Jesus called us to live here on earth and inherit our inheritance as the children of God. Do you know you have an inheritance? You have an inheritance. There's over 7,000 promises that God got in here for you. Do you know, I bet most of us couldn't even name 10 of them. Now, that's not to put us down. It's just that we're probably spiritually anorexic. And if we could just put a little bit more meat on our bones, we'd be able to swing that sword a little bit better, and there would be less stuff happening in our lives because we got a little bit of, you know, warrior in you. There you go. When we comprehend the authority we have in Christ, we will never be defeated by all the challenges and difficulties that come in our life. We cannot but come out victorious in life. Do you have that? I mean, that's my mindset. Even if I get a setback, and as we have setbacks, I just look at them as setups for a blessing. A setback is a setup for a blessing. Or you could look as a setback as a kick me down, knock me out, I'm not going to get up again, my life is always this bad, and you just keep doing that cycle over and over again. But I get setbacks all the time. And I just go, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me? Because there's got to be something that you're trying to change in my life, and I'm just not aware of it. So in this situation, what is it that you want to change in my life so I become more spiritually mature? That I have a refined idea of my identity in you. And so my setback is a setup for a blessing. You could probably tell I've said that before. Every time there's a setback, we will speak out God's word over our situations and our circumstances. So I know that when you probably saw the screen, there was a whole bunch of verses up there. In fact, Alex said to me, oh my gosh, all those verses you got there. I just wanted, I can give you right now over 100. I just picked a couple. Okay? So as we're closing today, I want you, if you want to write down these addresses, please feel free to do that. You can go look them up. As I said, I could have given you over 100, but I'm just going to give you a couple. First one, Matthew 28, 18 to 19. Is that crazy? Jeannie had no idea what my message is. She doesn't know. I never tell her. She scrolled that scripture this morning. So guess what? This is confirmation. We don't sit there and go, hey, what are you going to talk? I have no idea what she's going to talk about when she gets up here. And she has no idea on my message. Okay? But it's really nice when it just kind of connects like that. And Jesus came and said to them all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says later on that all authority that's been given to him, he now gives to you. But the world would have you believe that you don't have any authority. Luke 10, 19, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Behold, I have given you what? He's given you what? Maybe we need to start walking around like we got authority. Maybe we need to start walking around like, have you ever seen that commercial where the guy has the battery on his shoulder? This is an old commercial, so maybe the older folks will get it. And he stands there with the batter and he goes, go ahead, knock it off. Right? Remember that commercial? It was a battery commercial. Maybe we need to be walking around with a little bit of authority. You know? Maybe we need to do a Dirty Harry with the devil. You know, when all the excitement, I don't remember if I shot 5 or 6 shots. Do you feel lucky, punk? But most people are like, oh, Satan, leave me alone. He says, I've given you what? To do what? And to over all the what? Over who? Over who? What? Are you telling me this morning you have power and authority over the enemy? Huh. Nothing shall hurt you. But if you don't believe it, you hide in a corner. You know, a lot of times we act like an ostrich and we stick our head in the sand and make hope that goes away. But I'm just going to tell you, you stick your head in the sand, you're still going to get kicked in the butt because it's exposed. Just a thought. Peter's laughing. I got one guy laughing. Next one, 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So who's in you is Christ Jesus. There's no name above that name. Somehow in your mind, you think it's like, here's God and here's Satan. And it's like this and they're battling it out to who wins. Are you kidding me? It's like this. God, Satan, Danny. In fact, when Satan gets taken out, the scripture says he just sends an angel to do it. He can't be bothered with him. He's such a little peon. But how many in the world have raised him up to a status that he doesn't deserve? And therefore, he's a problem to you. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What do you got to do first? Submit to who? Is he not yourself? Submit myself to myself because I'm so cool. And I'm such a fool to think that. Submit to God. If you're not submitted to God, there's no blessing, there's no power, there's no nothing. You're outside his umbrella. It's raining, and if you're standing under the umbrella of God, you're covered. But if you're not submitted to him, you're doing your own thing, you're not covered. You're getting wet, right? Resist the devil. That doesn't mean go and find how close you can get to sin before you get nipped in the bud, right? It's just like if you know that that's a place that you shouldn't go, then don't go. You got friends that you shouldn't be hanging out with? Don't go. Hanging out at the bar? Don't go. It says resist the devil. It doesn't say like, hey, I want to put my arm around him and say, hey, boo, you know, you got nothing over me. Really? And he'll flee from you. Not because of you. Not because of you, but because of who's in you. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Did I tell you about a class that we're starting in 2 weeks? Does that scripture look familiar to what I read during announcements? It should, right? Okay. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. When somebody is in your way and they're making poor choices and you're kind of taking it personal, don't. Don't. That's Satan just trying to get you hung up to get into another kind of battle. You need to look and say, listen, it's not them. When you have people that are your best friends or people that you work with and they stab you in the back, yeah, you can get all bent out of shape, but you know what I say? All I say is if they knew the shepherd, they wouldn't do that. So apparently, this is an example that they don't know the shepherd. That's where I need to be praying. Lord, let me be the light. Lord, let me make a difference. Lord, let me show them you who dwell in me. All right, you got it, right? Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Whose might? His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Put on all the armor of God. Can I tell you, you need to do that in the morning, not at night before you go to bed. Reading your scriptures at night before you go to bed, well, I mean, it's okay. But I'm just telling you, it's uncomfortable sleeping in armor. I'm just telling you, right? It's a lot more comfortable to get up in the morning, get the word of God in you, suit up with your armor. Think about the shield and the helmet and the sword and the feet of get the girdle. I mean, get it on, right? Because now you're ready to go do battle. And when you spend time with the Lord, he'll direct your path so that you don't have to deal with half the stuff you deal with when you don't invite him. Right? I don't mind meditating on a scripture something before I go to bed, but don't make that the time when you meditate in the Lord. It's like putting on your armor to go to bed. Just a thought. Get up a little earlier. Or go to bed a little earlier so that you can get up. Okay? 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. What did he give you a spirit of? Not fear. I see a lot of believers today walk around in fear because they see the things of the natural and don't realize that there's a spiritual war going on. And God is looking to make you spiritually mature. Next one, Colossians 2:10. We're almost done here. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. You have been filled in him. In other words, he dwells within you. And because he is with you, he is the head of all rule and authority. And he's already said, I've given you all authority. See, I'm trying to refine your identity this morning. I think some of you have been putting up with too much stuff that's not of God. One of my favorite ones. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus. Through who? Glad it's not me. I'm glad it's not my power. Another one of my favorites, Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Do you know God loves you? God is looking to spiritually make you mature so that you will be victors because he already said that you are. This year, now, is the time now to wake up. It is the time to sit up. It is the time to stand up and take back what has been stolen from us. What's been stolen? Our health, our peace, our families, our finances, our faith, and our calling. God has released authority and power through Christ Jesus, the conquering King. And he is calling us to walk as kings with dominion, with boldness, and with unshakable identity. You're not an orphan. You are sons and daughters of King Almighty. You are heirs to the throne. Now is the time. I've already told you, things are going to start heating up into June, into July. You must be ready. There are things that are happening right now that the news is not even reporting. You have to go find truth. Now is the time. Stand firm and resist any forces that aim to diminish the authority bestowed upon you by God. Resist it. Resist it. Today is the day that we refine our identity. Today is the day to embrace our identity in our God-given purpose. To recognize and accept that each of us has a cross to carry. A dragon to slay, a home to defend, and a king to serve. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that through this word, you refined our identity. That you have called us to be victors, not victims. That you have given us great authority. That we are to stand firm and resist the forces that aim to diminish that authority that you have given us. we recognize and accept it this morning. We recognize and accept that we do have a cross to bear, a dragon to slay, a home to defend, and a king to serve. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We pray that everything that we say and do is the Father's will as we lift up the name of Jesus, as we choose to be Christ-like, as we now have refined our identity in Christ Jesus and by his blood. And in that name we pray, in Yeshua HaMashiach, amen, amen, and amen. 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 You give the Lord a hand clap. I hope this morning it's giving you a different perspective, because when we have a different perspective, we act different, we talk different, and we move different. Amen. God bless you, and shalom.